Open your Bibles to Ezekiel chapter 37, if you will, please. Ezekiel 37. Revival breathing new life. In Psalm chapter 85, verse 6, the psalmist prays this prayer. He said, God, will you not revive us again that your people may rejoice in you? Do you think we need this prayer today? Amen? We need this prayer today. Scholars are not sure when this psalm was written or what circumstances that prompted this prayer. What we do know is that the psalmist takes a deep, honest, and painful look at his life and the life of the nation of Israel and sees a desperate need for revival. A need to revive their joy, to revive their zeal, to revive their love, to revive their commitment. And when he said, revive us again, he remembers a time when their relationship with God was strong and vibrant. He remembers God's blessings. He remembers when God meant more to them than anything else, but not anymore. Something has happened between them and God. It could be war. It could be death. It could be a sense of despair brought about by poor economic times. I mean, maybe they allowed other gods, idolatry, to become between them and God. Maybe it was the sin of immorality or greed or materialism. I mean, whatever it is, the psalmist is sick of it. He is sick of it, and he cries out to God, revive us again. Say that with me, revive us again. And it's only God who can bring about revival. But revival comes only to those who are sick and tired of the status quo and will do whatever it takes to move forward. Today we begin a sermon series simply entitled Revival. And as did the psalmist, we too, as the Church of Jesus Christ, need to cry out, God, revive us again so that we can rejoice in you. Now, the word revival simply means to return to life. That's what it means, to return to life. It's what a doctor does to a patient who has gone into cardiac arrest. I mean, he starts with CPR, massaging the heart, keeping the blood flowing and forcing air into the lungs of the patient until he's able to breathe on his own. God needs to perform CPR on his church and on us as individual Christians and breathe new life into us once again. He needs to massage the heart of this congregation so that we will be a life-flowing force in this community by leading people to the saving blood of Jesus. Amen? That's what God needs to do for us, for Garfield Christian Church. And God could do it. But we have to see a need to be revived and then allow God to use us to do whatever it takes to bring about revival. Now this morning, I want to spend some time in Ezekiel 37 to see how God can breathe new life into that which is dead. In this chapter, we find the prophet Ezekiel being told by God to prophesy over a valley of dry bones so that they can come alive. And the valley of the dry bones represented the nation of Israel who, after being taken into Babylon captivity, felt that they could never live as a nation again. And God says to Ezekiel, you tell them that that's not so. And although everything seems hopeless now, they will become a great and powerful nation once again. Now what Ezekiel sees is not only the nation of Israel, but also the Messianic Kingdom, the Church of Jesus Christ. I mean, the Church is to be a great army for God. But sadly, instead of containing an exceeding great army, many congregations contain rotting corpses. I mean, it doesn't have to be that way because God provided everything that is needed to build and maintain a vibrant church. Do you believe that? that God provides everything that we need. When I came to this church almost 11 years ago, I mean, there was a great excitement, but now the enthusiasm and the passion for God and His church has dwindled, as we see in churches all over America. I sense a spiritual depression in my own life, as well as in the life of some of this congregation. Do you sense it as well? Do you sense it? But don't give up. I mean, there is hope, because the message of our text today is that God can breathe new life in the church and in us as individual Christians. Do you believe it? That God can do that for us today. Even as He did with the nation of Israel, so can He do with the 21st century church. So I want us to begin to take a look at our text today. First of all, the lifeless condition. A lifeless condition. Lifeless condition. And I want you to follow with me as you read here verses 1 and 2, if you will, please. Ezekiel writes, the prophet, he says, "The hand of the Lord was upon me. And He brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord, and He set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry." Now Israel is seen as having no life at all. Ezekiel sees nothing but bones scattered all over the surface of an open valley. The picture brings to mind of a great battle that had been fought where thousands of men have died and their bones are left on the ground where they fell. Now, there is nothing there but bones, very dry bones, Ezekiel says. Very dry bones, indicating that they had been dead for a very long time. And I don't know if Ezekiel understood that these bones represented Israel's condition. If so, it must have greatly disturbed him. I mean, Israel at one time was a great and vibrant nation, a mighty nation of God. They were God's children, blessed beyond any other people. But because of their wickedness and idolatry, their lack of faith in God, they were taken into captivity. And they felt that there was no more hope for them, and that Israel would soon perish and never receive God's blessing again. Israel didn't realize it, but even while they were a mighty, strong nation, they were gradually dying and being drawn away from the Lord. Today, the Lord takes a look at the churches, at His church, and He sees a valley of dry bones. No life, no joy, no direction, no discipleship, no fruit in their lives. And often what the Lord sees are Christians who just simply, merely playing church. I mean, many Christians go through the motions. They come to worship, they take the Lord's Supper, they sing the songs, they pray the prayers, they pray, they give, but yet there's no life there. And maybe you have felt that. Why? I don't know about you, but lately I have been going through this spiritual slump. And the anxiousness I have felt through the pandemic, and now the racial tension that we see across America, certainly hasn't helped. And this slump, for lack of a better word, has really affected my prayer life. It's affected my Bible study, my ministry, my family. I'm being compelled to face some future decisions and challenges of which I'm not near ready. I feel like the life of Christ sometimes is just gradually being sapped out of me by all the pressures and the uncertainties of this world. And I'm sure I'm not the only one who feels or have felt this way. I mean, I know that some of you have been going through your own struggles, and you too have felt that you are spiritually dying inside. I can't be the only one. And this is exactly what Ezekiel was describing. I mean, here are people who were once God's chosen, but have been cut off from God and now have nothing but a pile of dry bones. But then as we read on in this book, we see, secondly, the life-giving power of God. I'm glad Ezekiel doesn't stop there, okay? Because we see the life-giving power of God here. In verses 3 through 6, he goes on to say, Ezekiel says, "He asked me, God asked me, 'Son of man, can these bones live?' I said, 'O sovereign Lord, you know alone.' And then he said to me, 'Prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath into you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life, and then you will know that I am the Lord.'" I love that. I mean, Ezekiel realizes God's power here. I mean, God asked, "Son of man, can these bones live?" And Ezekiel replied, "Well, Lord, man, you know the answer to that. Well, not me." I mean, undoubtedly, if anyone else would have asked that question, Ezekiel would have probably answered, "Are you kidding me? I mean, look out there. I mean, there's nothing but a boneyard in that valley. How can they possibly live again?" And yet the prophet didn't underestimate the awesome power of God. He knew that no matter how bleak, how hopeless, and how lifeless this graveyard appeared, that God could bring life to it once again. God is the great life giver. God says, "You prophesy over those dry bones and stand back and marvel, because you're going to see them come alive, and you will know that I am the Lord. I am the Lord," Jehovah says. "I am the Lord." Say that with me. I am the Lord. That's what God wants us to know and understand. And if Ezekiel entertained any doubt, he won't after God gets through this graveyard. Because God can take that which has no life at all and cause it to live again. Friends, never, never, never should we underestimate the life-giving power of God. I mean, sometimes we allow our defeatist attitudes to cause us to give up. Just to go crawl in a corner somewhere and die. I mean, we look at the valley of dry bones, that is our neighborhood, our church, our families, our financial situation, our personal lives, and we believe that God is not powerful enough to change it. And I know I'm preaching to myself here, okay? I know that. But I sometimes forget, and maybe you do too, just how big and powerful our God really is. We forget that sometimes, and there is nothing that our God cannot do. Do you believe that? There is nothing that our God cannot do. There is no problem that He cannot resolve. There is no situation that He cannot turn around. Friends, God can take a church that is dying, a church that has lost its spiritual fervor, a church that is doing nothing and going nowhere, and make it a living, thriving, growing church. God can take a person that is bored with life, tired of Christianity, one who has become weary in doing good, and restore his spiritual passion for Christ, his love for others, his commitment to the church, and the furtherance of the gospel. God can take a family that are having problems, a couple's whose marriage is on the rocks, parents who are at the end of the rope dealing with a troubled child, teenagers, you know, who can't get along with their parents, and renew their love and devotion to each other and strengthen their relationships. God can take a group of people drying up and gradually withering away and breathe new life into them. Amen? This is what God can do. We're talking about God Almighty here. This is God Almighty. And whatever has been decaying our spiritual fervor, whatever has been sapping the strength and excitement, the dedication of our Christian life, it can be revived. It can be revived. Again, I know I'm not the only one who has been experiencing a lack of zeal and enthusiasm. Others have come to me and said that they too have been down spiritually. I mean, we can't turn on the news and just, and our heart just breaks seeing what is happening within the United States of America. Others have come to me and said that they have just been going through so much with the pandemic, with all that's going on. And I'm sure that we have all experienced the listlessness, the lethargy, the staleness of our Christian profession at one time or another. But yet we're not alone. Did you know that even the Apostle Paul, you know, when I think of the Apostle Paul, man, I think of this spiritual giant, don't you? This spiritual giant. But yet even the Apostle Paul felt the pressure of the world and became greatly discouraged. I want you to keep your Bibles marked there in Ezekiel 37. Keep it there, okay? But I want you to turn over to 2 Corinthians, if you will, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And I want you to listen to Paul in verses 8 and 9. As Paul writes the Corinthian church, he says, "We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about the hardships we suffered in the province of Asia." Listen to his words. "We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired even of life. Indeed, our hearts we felt the sentence of death, but this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises us, raises the dead." I mean, Paul is saying that we have felt so burdened, so weighted down, that even death sounds appealing. He said, we have despaired even of living on. Paul is not specific about the events that led up to this despairing condition, but it's something that had made life almost unbearable. And a lesser person than Paul would have just caved. A person can go for just so long in face of outright opposition from people and events, and then there is a slow crumbling and resolve of resistance. And friends, don't condemn yourself if you finally reach a point where you want to chuck it and just crawl under a rock and just die. But don't forget that God can make you live again. Amen? God can make you live again. Say that with me. God can make you live again. Again, Paul said in verse 9, this has happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. Paul is saying, if my trust is in myself, I would have given up and died a long time ago. I would just give up and die. But I trust in God who can lift me up from my despair and breathe new life into me. And this is exactly what Ezekiel sees in that valley of dry bones. He sees a group of people who are dead. They are discouraged, frustrated, perplexed. They're ready to give it all up. And yet God looks over them and He asks the question, can they live again? And the answer is emphatically, yes. Yes, they can live again through the power of prayer and God working within this church. He can literally take a church that is dying and doing nothing and can turn the world upside down through that church. Again, do you believe that? That God did it before, friends. He can do it again. He is just as powerful today as He was during Ezekiel's time and the Apostle Paul's time. Just as powerful. But then number three. Let's turn back to Ezekiel. Number three, we now see the living results. The living results. So I want you to listen to Ezekiel as he goes on, verses 7 through 14. Listen to what he says. Ezekiel said, "So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. And then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy so to the man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe into these slain, that they may live. And so I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life, and they stood up on their feet, a vast army. And then he said to me, son of man, that these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say that our bones are dried up, and our hope is gone. We are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. O my people, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from them, and I will bring you back to the land of Israel, and then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord. When I open your graves and bring you back from them, and I will put my spirit in you, and you will live, and I will settle you in our land, and then you will know that I am the Lord. I, the Lord, have spoken, and I have done it, declares the Lord. Ezekiel prophesied over those bones, and he saw them come back to life. He saw bones reconnect, and then the tendons, flesh, and skin began to form. And God said, prophesy to the four winds to come breathe into the dead so that they can come alive. And then breath came into their bodies, and they stood on their feet. And Ezekiel looked over that valley that was once just nothing but dry bones. And he sees a vast army. I mean, this was God's way of showing Israel that regardless of how hopeless their condition seemed, they were going to be revived because God is great and powerful. It's all because of God. They would once again become a powerful nation. But friends, what God can do for Israel, He can do for His people today. He can do for us today. If we allow God's Spirit to breathe new life into us, there is nothing that Garfield Christian Church cannot do. God is not done with us. Say this with me. God is not done with us. I believe that the reason we are still here, this year, this building has been in this lot 60 years this year. I believe it has been 60 years. And the reason we are still here is because God is not done with us yet. There are still people in our neighborhood who are without Jesus, who are lost without hope. And we, as God's church, are right here on Walker Avenue so that we can be a light to our community. There are people that we need to be sharing Jesus Christ with. But instead, we drive past them every Sunday, and we're not reaching out to our neighbors the way that we should be. God is not done with us. And there are things that we can do to truly make a difference. I mean, what do you want to see accomplished in this church? I mean, do you want to see more souls being saved? Do you want to see that? Do you want to see this sanctuary filled with young families once again? You know, these here leave vacant signs out of here, you know. I mean, God can do it. I mean, do you want to see greater giving of our money, time, talents, effort to ministry? Do you want to see a stronger fellowship within our group of people here at Garfield Christian Church? Do you want to see a greater passion and enthusiasm for the Lord and His church? I mean, whatever you want to accomplish for this church, friends, God also wants. Did you realize it? That's what He wants too. And if it's not being done, it's because we have tried to do it ourselves and not truly give it to God. So what will revive the church and help us grow spiritually, numerically, and become a dynamic force in our community? Well, the Bible already tells us. I've listed 9 of them. I'm sure there are many more. I've listed 9 of them. First of all, friends, we've got to have faith in the power of God. Amen? We have got to have faith in the power of God. Mark 9, verse 23, we studied that, you know, the book of Mark, where Jesus said several times that everything is possible for him who believes. It's possible for us. Secondly, we need to get into God's Word. I mean, more than just, you know, reading somebody's meme on Facebook, you know, we've got to get into the Word. I mean, Peter tells us in 1 Peter 2, verse 2, he says, like newborn babies, we need to crave the pure spiritual milk of the Word so that by it you can grow up in your salvation. If you want to grow up in Christ, man, start reading this. Start studying God's Word. Thirdly, we need to recognize our failings and our sins and repent. Peter, speaking to the people of Israel, people of Jerusalem rather, said in Acts chapter 3, verse 19, he says, repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped away, that the time of refreshing, the time of refreshing, of renewal, might come from the Lord. Number four, we need to be committed to the work and the ministry of the Lord. The work and ministry of the Lord. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58, he said, therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Boy, if there's one thing that the church needs here today, it is that we need to stand firm. Let nothing move you, Paul says. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Be committed to the work and ministry of the Lord. Number five, be prepared to share your faith with others. I mean, you know people who are not in Christ. Have you talked to them about Jesus? Peter writes in 1 Peter 3, verse 15, he says, in your heart, set apart Christ as Lord. And always be prepared to give an account to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do so with gentleness and respect. Don't go there and beat somebody up with the Word of God. You share the good news. Share the good news. Don't be afraid to share the good news, but share the good news with love. Number six, man, we have to respect and support your spiritual leaders. Respect and support your spiritual leaders. Paul tells us in 1 Thessalonians 5, 12 and 13, he says, now we ask you, brothers, to respect those who work hard among you, who are over you and the Lord, and who admonish you, correct you. Hold them up in highest regard in love because of their work. Live in peace with each other. Secondly, we've got to give generously to the cause of Christ. Give generously. In 2 Corinthians 8, verse 7, again, Paul says, just as you have excelled in everything, in faith and speech and knowledge and complete earnestness, and in your love for us, well, see to it that you also excel in the grace of giving. And then number eight, encourage one another. Oh, friends, we need to encourage one another. We live in such a time, again, where when you turn on that television, you feel so depressed watching the news. You're so depressed watching the news. And we've got to encourage one another. And when we see people, our own members, who are not living the life that they should in Christ, let's go to them in love and encourage them. Hebrews 3, verse 13 says, encourage one another daily as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. And then finally, number nine, we're going to talk about this more next week. We need to pray fervently. Pray fervently for revival. Again, James 5, 16 says, the prayer of a righteous man or woman is powerful and effective. We need to start praying once again. We're going to continue next week. We're going to take a look here at revival that it actually begins with you and me. Revival begins with you and me. It begins with prayer. If you have got my emails and seen my sermons online during this pandemic when we were all sheltering in, you know that throughout my emails, my sermons, I have talked about the need for revival. Believing that what all is happening, what we see, especially when we began with a pandemic, I'm saying, what is God doing here? And I said, I don't know if God is the cause of this, bringing it our way, or he's just using it. But either way, God wants revival. He wants us as a church, as Christians, to look at our lives and see there are things that I need to change. There are things that we need to do differently as individual Christians. There are things that we need to do differently as the Church of Jesus Christ and making an impact on lost souls. Do you believe that and agree with that? We need revival. As you read throughout the Old Testament, you see how God used famine, plagues, even war to bring about revival to his people. He wanted them to understand that without me, you are nothing. Without me, you are lost. He looked at his people whom he wanted for them to give their life to him and be devoted to him. And he looked at them as they were gradually pulling away and falling away from him and turning to the world of other gods, of immorality, just moving farther and farther away. And as we look at the church in the 21st century, we see that very thing happening once again, that we are moving farther and farther away from God. We're seeing this in America. As you look at the statistics of people today, I think it was back in the year 2000, that over 80% of Americans said that they were Christians, and today it's only 65%. Only 65%. From the studies of the Barna Group and other studies, shows that close to 8,000 churches close their doors every year. I believe that we need revival. And I'm praying that God will bring that once again. But it starts with us, as we're going to be talking about next week. It starts when we look at ourselves and see what it is that Fred needs to do differently and Fred needs to change. And then you look at your own heart and your own life and say, this is what I need to do differently. This is where I need to change. Today, we're not asking people to come forward. This pandemic thing. But I am asking you, if you want me to pray for you today, just to stand where you are, that we are going to be praying for revival this morning. And I'm going to have my brother Don Ralston, he wouldn't mind coming up. Because brother, man, I need your prayers, brother. And again, I know there's got to be others that just struggle with whatever's going on and see that slump, that spiritual slump that we're going through. And so if others are like myself, and if you want us to pray for you today, will you please stand where you are? Just stand where you are. And we're going to be praying for revival today. Okay. Yes. Kind of. Amen. Amen, sister. Amen. Amen. Thankful to God for that. Praising God for that. Anyone else need for revival if you want to stand where you are? Anyone else? Yes, brother.
Oh.
Oh, wow. Okay. Okay.
So she is somehow involved with that where she'll get the phone calls and then she will tell them who to contact to get that bill.
I see. Okay.
It's limited time,
so wow. Okay.
That's definitely
right. Yeah. Amen. 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 For revival, brother.